Are we good?
We're on.
Hey, we had some. Compassion to those who you show compassion, and you hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our great mediator. So we pray. Right now we pray for the country of Uganda as the COVID is spreading more at that time. Would you protect the nation? Would you especially be with your church during this time? We pray for Patrick and all of our friends there in the church in Uganda. We pray you would protect them, give them wisdom, give them mercy, and be with them at this time. We want to pray for some of these other things we missed. Pray for Tom Kolakowski with the recovering from surgery. We pray for the Hans getting ready for selling their house and moving. We pray for Natalie Wilson with upcoming brain surgery this week and coming up soon. And we pray that you would have your hand upon each of these situations, Lord, that you would minister to each one, that they would know you are there, that you are a God who is present and who never abandons or forsakes us because of Jesus' promise that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. We pray you would be with each of these situations and any others I've missed, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's been a fun way to do prayer requests, isn't it? Because we can get a good sense of what's going on. It's all home right there. And great, Patrick. I don't know if you're still watching, but that's awesome. We saw that initially. Yeah, folks listening from Uganda. I think you had a group listening with you, and we know that we've got random folks spread throughout the much wider area. Tune again. That's pretty cool. That's one of the opportunities here. So we had some mic issues here in the beginning. And you didn't hear Tim's call to worship is what we're hearing. You hear him now.
Yep.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. What was the call to worship? You can give it now. You know.
The call to worship is, don't get the sound guys angry at you. They saw the call to worship because it was on the screen.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was just trying to remind us that we are ambassadors, just like Paul and Barnabas, and we are called to be reconcilers in this time of unrest in our nation.
Yep.
We should be people of peace, of compassion, and it starts with examining our own hearts like we talked about last time, and Lord, forgive me and help me, because what happens is I want to be Tim Malone's ambassador.
Yeah,
and
I want my interest. I want my righteousness.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's.
It was like the best call to worship I've ever heard.
It really was. You had to hear it live.
No, it was good.
The first question came in, and it was, does anybody know what that instrument is called? Well, we decided it was a grill cover, especially with that flame above it. You know, on the shirt, it was.
What are you talking about?
Buzz's instrument.
Oh, Buzz's instrument. Okay. Yeah, so the backstory here is we don't hear the audio.
That's true.
At all. So I was barely even.
Billy didn't even
know
what was going on because he was setting up the table here.
So what's it called?
What is it called? Who
a
knows?
A hand pan. Buzz answered.
Hand pan.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, there it is.
And you presumably use your hand.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
It was a magical sound. You almost sounded as good as a Lemus, the source. I repent. Sorry. terrible joke. This is not the kind of magician you want to invite to your child's birthday party. Thank you. I love that.
it's true, right? You know, it's interesting. Bar Jesus is the, you know, he's got a Jewish background. Paul calls him or Luke calls him a false prophet, and yes, you know, on top of that, he's a practicer of these sorcery or whatever that is. He probably had an audience there in Cyprus, and I don't know, maybe people were inviting them to their children's birthday party, but that's not what we would want to do.
I was imagining, you know, terrible, because I've been watching Aladdin with my daughter and, you know, the little snake, you know. Hypnotizing the Sergius Paulus, you know, to not see the truth. But anyway.
Emily Spangler, do you see that question?
No sound from me. Oh, man, I got it in the back. It's back. Oh, okay. All right, here we go.
Are we not being heard right now?
No, maybe not. We're having a great time, though. Sorry for you guys.
Hey, we're hoping you're enjoying this at home. We enjoy sitting and just catching up right after the service each week, right?
Question number one from Alberto Llorenz.
Okay.
Can you define the social gospel? I'm afraid this term can be misunderstood without more context.
Yeah. How do you define the social gospel? This is the problem with words mean different things to different people. So we need to define that. It's a false gospel so far as I'm concerned. In some variations of it, and it's. You know, what we said is maybe we see the social gospel in light of what the true gospel preaches, right? So the true gospel says that we are in ourselves lost beyond hope, that sin has broken us so deeply that we are unable to repair that brokenness that exists, yes, primarily between me and my Creator, but between me and others, that there's ramifications of that are deep, that only Jesus addresses that, heals that. That healing is complete at the cross. That's why Jesus, when he dies on the cross, says it's finished, it's done, there's no more work to be done. And yet I think we maybe talked about this.
We talked about this this week on the phone even.
I was thinking even in a sermon Q&A, we've talked about the maybe the already but not yet kingdom. I don't know if that's come up here or not, that those promises are true. They are present right now, but yet we still wait for Jesus to return when he says, I will wipe away every tear, that there is there's a grand and glorious thing that's coming at Jesus' second coming. And so we live in between that completed work of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his final return, where all things will be restored, all things made new. So that's the gospel. That's the understanding that we have. And there are some proponents, and again, I guess we need to be careful, but there are some proponents of the social gospel that would seek that would solve issues apart from Christ, that would reject the reality of suffering in the world. So there's the sermon tie-in, that God does not remove the adversity. He doesn't remove those difficult things that were there, but he's still sovereign over it. He's able to he's able to use it. And so we're pointing folks not to a better world. We're pointing folks to Christ, who is the bringer of that better world. And so that maybe that's the nuance. That's the difference. So I said in the comments, at its best, it's just an over-realized eschatology, meaning it's trying to make those promises, which are true and will be true one day, as if they are true right now. And we say, no, there are certain things that Jesus will do finally and completely when he comes back. But right now, we look to him and we wait and we move towards that. We're supposed to be, right? There's so much of the social gospel that is right on, right? That the church is, we are to be a light. That was the message over and over in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes and says, you know, you are a city on the hill. You are a light in the darkness. That the world is supposed to be different because we are here. But our hope is in Christ. It's not in the better world. It's in Christ who has that effect. So I don't know if that's clear enough. Either one of you can chime in.
I think you said it very well, and it's not as if the gospel doesn't have social implications, as you mentioned.
Right.
But ultimately, we don't put our hope in a human progress and achievement and isolate it from the necessity of the cross and the necessity of God's work and centrality in the whole salvation picture. So isolating human achievement mm-hmm. without God is fruitless, really, because we don't see that we can accomplish good works apart from Christ in us and apart from his ultimate finished work, as you've mentioned, on the cross that accomplished our salvation. So the good news is something we couldn't do at all. It was Christ's work, mm-hmm. not ours. But it has implications. We were created for good works, though our salvation is completely free. So yeah. we do want to have a social change, but it's not where we don't look to human progress for that.
Right, and it's the difference, right, between social justice and the social gospel, yeah. right? That social justice is rooted in the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's you were saved for good works that we might walk in them. Mm-hmm. That it's not just right belief, but right living. We can get very focused on, and it's good that we. I mean, I think probably the disposition of all of us is to first look at our own heart. But it's our own heart and right living as well, that it's not just this personal piety that I have between me and the Lord. It's mm-hmm. that second commandment is to love my neighbor as myself. Mm-hmm. That has to have implications. If I'm not loving my neighbor as myself, then you're not loving God. Mm-hmm. And you arrive then back at the heart. But sometimes we can just focus on that first part, love the Lord your God, right. And that's all I need. And right. it's...
Here's a question from Stanimira. Saul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at the sorcerer and said, and she didn't put it in, I should have it memorized, but I don't. What are the deceitful messages and messengers of the devil that the church should boldly and directly address in the public square
no.
today?
Ooh,
yeah.
Now that's a complicated question.
Wow.
Not only what are they, but which one should we be, which should we be addressing? Maybe I can address this first just generically, is that we do need to have an awareness of that we're in a battle. That's, again, part of that, mm-hmm. that in this world there will be suffering. The Bible typically classifies that battle, those things that come against us, as the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we have an understanding right. that there are there's a worldliness within the church is a... is an issue. Worldliness within our own lives is an issue. The remnant of sin left in me, my own flesh, that part of me that still wants to rebel against the good, sovereign, loving, control of the Father is still there, and the devil himself, that there's even a direct spiritual element. All of those are outside of ourselves, but all of those come at us. What was it if Bar Jesus is a son of the devil, right? He's an agent of the devil, and what's at the heart of what he's trying to do? It says it right there. He was seeking to turn Sergius Paulus away from the faith. That's the bottom line. That's where he's going, and so he has a myriad of tactics that he would use, and that's. In some ways, that there's probably been different variations of that from one age to the next, but I think there's probably some common themes as well from the beginning of time till now. Namely, that salvation can be found apart from Christ. But that doesn't that look different, right? So either you're, for some, the devil's tactic is you are so bad, God could never forgive you. Let's just keep on the guilt and the shame. For others, it's it's minimizing sin. It's do you get what I'm saying? So it's the same goal, but two opposite tactics. And so I think that's pretty nuanced. But I think having a right understanding of that, and just having a consciousness of that and awareness of that. Sure, as we're preaching, as we're studying God's word, as we're just engaging, that's part of the lenses through which we see the world. Specific examples, that's what she wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
come to mind? We won't make any bold declarations.
Well, one that came to mind immediately for me, especially, we're a pretty affluent church, and yet we are very much affected by materialism. And anything that pulls us away from Christ, I'm just naming one, but materialism does, doesn't it? And where do we go for comfort? You know, do we go to online shopping? Do we go on a trip to Walmart? Do we go to our malls? Do we try to fill our souls with these empty baubles? And I think, the scripture is very clear that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And even though we are one of the richest countries in the world, and we're in a particularly, we're in the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania, I believe, and yet we can still crave more. The love of money is one of those things that can draw us away from Christ. So that's just one. There's lots.
You know, and isn't that interesting? I was reflecting on this early on in this pandemic that in some way some of that materialism got maybe that was part of the uneasiness that we felt because you couldn't go out shopping. You couldn't do this or that.
That's
you could do it online.
Did you have that?
But at some point, I don't know if Amazon was delivering but it was.
Amazon was delayed, man. We were suffering because we were so used to our material.
But that idol was being put in check, and what you find, though, is you're going to just find some other outlet, right? The idol just has a different face. Tim, what do you think? Any scheme of the devil you want to talk about?
No, but I'm with Dave.
Stanley Muir's giving us a platform here.
Materialism and just, the idea of self. Self is the one who determines what is right. Self is the one, I should be happy. All those kind of things where everything we run through our own lens and our own feelings and we try to run God through that lens. And that really leads us astray. Follow your heart. And, these are trying to be encouraging statements, but again, these are things, even what's my purpose? To be an ambassador or, to have a safe little life? And, I think that's something we're being called out on in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Being white men is, do I have responsibility to my other brothers and sisters in this world? Well, but I like my safe little life. And that goes along with materialism and comfort. And, we make this world our home more than we should.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. And so it's interesting. You both named, I think, eternal, long, maybe eternal is not the right word, but like classic issues addressed in the Bible, true from age to age, but like feels particularly acute now, whether it's materialism or like just the hyper-individualism that we live in today that basically puts the self in the absolute center. And again, I think with all of it, we probably are splitting hairs trying to figure out what's the work of the devil, what's the work of the world.
It's all three.
But it's just part of that spirit, spirit of the age. Amen. I think individualism probably, at least in my mind, that's probably the thing that has consumed more of my attention and time is just how absolutely we are told we are at the center.
Right.
Here is a question, Keith Green, is there any historical record that Bar Jesus was changed like Paul was after being struck with blindness?
Yeah.
Both struck with blindness. That's an interesting parallel, isn't it?
I stopped short of trying to research that, but I was very curious because of that connection with, Bar Jesus has the same thing. Elimus has the same thing that happens to him that happened to Saul. And we're not told the rest of that story. He served that purpose just to bring the proconsul to faith.
Right.
But
interesting.
I have not seen any more questions here. People are enjoying the beautiful weather out there.
I can't wait to get out. We're going to go for a walk outside. You guys going to do anything outside today?
We have invited over. This is the first week that. The retirement community where my in-laws stay is allowing them out. So we said, come on over. We're going to have them and sit 6 feet apart on our deck.
See family.
And, so this is the first time we'll have seen them face-to-face since March. So, it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Yeah. How about you guys? doing anything?
We're going on a hike.
A hike?
Going on a hike. That's our Sunday thing. A beautiful day for it.
White clay?
No, we're going to go somewhere different.
Someone, don't tell us, because we'll all find you there.
I'll tell you.
Hon,
I want to go to Susquehanna.
Oh, yeah,
Susquehanna
that's
State
good.
Park. We talked about it.
We were
20 minutes
there a
away.
Couple times,
20
yeah.
minutes away. We're going to go for a little.
We like Susquehanna.
Thanks to Bruce Kaufman for the tip. We saw all the bald eagles. That was amazing. Yeah, right on them. And now it's harder to see. He told us when to go right before all the leaves filled in. But yeah, and they've opened up the main parking lot now.
Okay.
As of a few weeks ago, because we were there again with our bicycles and having a great time. So yeah, that's a good place. Winter. In the winter, you can see the eagles. that works too.
All right. Well, this has all been good. We enjoy each other.
That's right.
Yeah, Buffon, we'll continue to do this if you continue to send in your questions, or the onus will be maybe more on us.
That's right. We'll ask them questions.
We've been put on the spot quite a bit. So, yeah. All right. Well, have a wonderful Sunday, wonderful Sabbath. Enjoy God's creation. Take a breath. Be refreshed in Him. Goodbye.